Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we want to let you know about the International Day of the Unreached, which is this coming Sunday, May 15th, and it's been dubbed so by Wycliffe Bible translators, and the goal is to get the gospel out to those who have yet to hear, to reach the as-of-yet unreached. Tim Bourne of Wycliffe Bible Translators joins us now to tell us more information. And I should have asked you, Tim, at the very outset, what is the website of Wycliffe Bible Translators? Wycliffe.org?
Yeah, Jerry. Actually, the website for this exact initiative is wycliffe.org/unreached, if you remember that much and can go directly. But it's also linked right on the front homepage of our main website, wycliffe.org.
Okay, well, welcome to the program, and tell us all about this effort to reach the as-of-yet unreached.
Thanks, yeah, and good to be with you. The International Day for the Unreached, as you were unpacking there, is a nationwide initiative with churches and organizations working among the unreached and radio stations having a voice for the unreached. And it's a nationwide initiative to really put attention to this remaining task. 2 billion unreached people around the world who have no gospel, no Bible in their language, no church presence. And we're really all standing up and working towards this day of where there's zero unreached people groups. There's zero Bible translation needs. And I like to say that, you know, this is Pentecost Sunday intentionally, you know, from the day that this spirit pouring out empowerment of the church and the elders speaking to the people in all their languages, this miraculous event, it's moving towards actually Revelation 7, that final picture of all of us, every tribe, every nation, every tongue gathered around the throne and worshiping Jesus Christ. So that's what we're about, and that's what we're all working for and working towards, and we're just prayerfully hoping that many, many will join us and take a stand this coming weekend.
Yeah. Now, first of all, let me say this. If you were to look at the timeline of history, and we go back to the 30s, when, as you said, there was the original Pentecost, and then look at the timeline of history up through today, you'd see, okay, there was a tremendous amount of progress in the first century and second and third. It really is not until about 1800 or so with William Carey, and especially William Carey, you know, with the father of the modern missionary movement. And then in the last two centuries, man, things have just kind of exploded. And now we're at the point where you're saying about 2 billion are yet to be reached. So my question is, where are these people and what languages do they speak?
Yeah. Well, in short, they're in some of the toughest places around the world. Some of these places, you know, you see on the news, and some are at the end of a dirt road, and some are in very urbanized areas, but they're a highly unreached people group. And so,
okay, well, let's start this way. What continents?
Go ahead, yeah.
What continents are you talking about?
Everyone. I'm talking about, you know, Americas, Africa, all throughout different parts of Asia. And so, you know, some are really sensitive context and really dangerous places for workers to go. But miracles are, you know, God is making ways in miraculous ways, and the gospel is going forward. So it's a neat time to be alive and see this.
Huh. Now, and what languages are represented? In other words, if you were to say, okay, here's this 2 billion people that are of yet unreached, what languages do these 2 billion people speak?
Well, when you look into a people group, there often is a language of wider communication. So they have their language, their heart language, the language that they'd speak in their village, the language that they would pray in and think in. It's also the language of their, you know, of a religious context of divine. However, the wider community may speak French or Swahili, or, you know, you can go on and on. Mandarin, for example, Hindi. And so you have these wider languages. The problem is, when it comes down to understanding God, when it comes down to the gospel, even on very practical levels, being able to succeed in school and understanding key things that you need to know, unless it's in their heart language, it's not going to sink in deep to where it's understandable. And what else is interesting too is it's often not true for a people group until it's in their own language. It's a foreign God. And so that's what's so significant about the language. And as far as, you know, what are these languages, there's many different dialects. Just right now, if I did just a pulse read on where we're currently as Wycliffe working in, just among unreached people groups, not just the whole world, but the unreached people groups, there are dozens of languages represented, and I did a quick population count where we're currently working spans over 130 million people.
All right, and so a lot of these languages that you're talking about, you're saying that there are literally millions of speakers and of these particular languages, and yet they don't have the scriptures in their language or even portions thereof?
That's correct, and in fact, there are languages where we have yet to start working in. Now, more and more we're picking up the pace. We're trying to do it and not lose any accuracy, any clarity, any quality in our work. So we're committed to that first. But more and more we're picking up the pace and looking at this final stretch of just Bible translation in general. There's about 1,800 languages left.
Out of how many?
Out of about 7,000 languages in the world, you know, you ask that, it's like, put on your seatbelt. 7,000 languages in the world, we're working currently in over 2,000 languages, and there's 1,800 left to start.
Wow.
Now, if that, since we're playing the numbers game, just
sure,
to give you a picture of how much things have sped up, because you were talking about these periods of history and progress. In 1999, we had just over 3,000 languages who had no Bible translation started yet, no verse of scripture.
1999?
Language.
Yes, 1999. Well, that's just 17 years ago. Wow. Okay.
And now less than 2,000. You know, we have 1,800. And just think of the way technology has impacted us the last 5 to 10 years.
Sure.
Who knows how much faster things will pick up over these coming years and the next decade.
Yeah. Now, there's always nuances to this as far as translation, although I'm sure computers can do some of this work. But I always remember an illustration I heard at Wheaton Graduate School where they said that the they allowed a translation from a computer from English into Russian, and the verse which said, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak," came out as the wine is, or the vodka is good, but the meat is bad. I was like, what? So, I mean, there's always, I'm sure there's always, you know, dangers to watch. It's funny. I it seems like every other day I'm reading some new story about how robots are taking over this job and taking over that job. And I imagine some of this translation is being done through computers, despite, you know, such pitfalls as I just described.
Yeah, it sure is. It's dramatically helped us with just becoming more efficient. But I think you're right on it there. It can only take us so far at this point. So it may be able to get us 40 or even 60% of the way. But then comes man, you know, then comes people working among the people. Bible translation is a very incarnational ministry, and we must deeply understand the complexities of each people group and their language that they speak and their culture and context. And then we also must be really, really connected to what is the original languages and what was originally said. Because what's most important is we get the accurate meaning in the original, from the original intent of Scripture. So,
have you personally worked with any of these language groups? And if so, tell us about that.
I wish that were my gifting and I could brag about being a Bible translator all day. You know, some at Wycliffe like to say we're all Bible translators, anyone who gives or prays or serves in administration. But I have visited. I have been around the world. I've been among people groups where Bible translation is happening. And
all right. Well, tell us about some of this.
It firsthand, it's, yeah. Well, you know, take, for example, Peru. I went to a New Testament dedication in the highlands of Peru. Now you think, oh, they speak Spanish, right? Well, no, again, this is a perfect example. There's different Quechua dialects throughout the Americas. And so in Peru,
which is a type of Indian tribe or whatever. Okay.
Yeah, it's a native dialect. And I go into the highlands of Peru. We actually dropped in elevation to 8,000 feet for the Apurimac Quechua dedication. It was held in a church, and no one there had Spanish as their primary language, and in fact, many didn't understand or speak Spanish, that was their only language. And it was just really neat to be part of the dedication and just to be able to see firsthand, this isn't just the first time they have scripture in their language. This is the first time they have scripture, period. This is the language of the people. And what else was neat was I was only at one of 12 dedications because 12 church leaders, 12 pastors were involved in the translation with us, and each one of them wanted to have their own church celebration. So one of 12 dedications, I attended just that one. It went for a day, and it was neat just to see the impact on that church alone. When they first started the translation, there's about 40 people in this church, and here at the celebration with the finished New Testament, already starting to work on the old, there's over 400 speakers in the church worshiping on a regular basis. So just the impact of Bible translation in many ways is really neat to see firsthand.
What about the Muslim world? Are there any of these unreached people within the, you know, subset of Islam?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. You can just do quick research on Google with unreached people groups and even just Joshua Project, you know, or the International Day for the Unreached website.
Tell us about the Joshua Project.
Maybe
Joshua some people
Project
don't know.
It's a global database. You can just look that up online, and it has unreached people groups all over that. It's a data website where you can see some of the most unreached people groups, what country they're in, what language they speak, what their primary and secondary language is, you know, just different things that you can pray for them. And if you take a look on that, I think you're onto this here. Just by seeing the majority religions that are represented in there, you are all over Muslim believing areas for sure.
Is there good news out of all this that you want to share with us?
Out of all the unreached need?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like, well, okay, despite the the challenges ahead, the fact is progress has been made. I mean, just that example you gave a few minutes ago, how in 1999, I believe you said there were 3,000 languages that have been translated, you know, and now that number's higher. I think now you're basically in the 5,000 or 5 million or 5 billion zone, I believe.
Yeah, well, I think the really exciting thing, because, you know, we can talk about numbers and some people get really jazzed up about it. Some people's, you know, eyes kind of glaze over. What's really exciting is to think about how we as the church body are caught up in this moment in history that other generations before us haven't been able to have realistic conversations about. And that is seeing a day where the gospel and the Word of God is made available to every man, woman, and child on this earth. And that's the kind of conversations we're able to have right now because of the pace, not just of Bible translation, but what God is doing around the world and His mission and how the whole church is participating. So I think the really, really good news, despite this huge need of 2 billion unreached, is that we're seeing more and more excitement, more and more commitment, more and more progress, but more and more kingdom work of God happening than we've ever seen before. And just to think of where will the next 5 years even take us as the church body is just an exciting thing to think about, and it's exciting to be alive for it. It feels like a great privilege to many of us.
Yeah, amen. And it's interesting, too, because sometimes you hear the idea that, well, Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world. But I remember talking with a great church statistician. He's since died. But he said, no, actually, Christianity is the world's fastest growing religion, if you really see the big picture.
Yeah. And you know what, Jerry, is we know the end of the story. We are people of hope with promises. And knowing that, and knowing what happens with the church even in the midst of persecution, and what we see in the scriptures and what we see in church history, even just thinking about where we are today because of some of the challenges that early people in the church encountered, It's just, we have nothing but promises and hope on our hands, despite the fears and concerns that may arise, especially from watching the news.
Excellent. And on that point, we'll close. Tim Bourne of Wycliffe Bible Translators, wycliffe.org for more information. Thank you, and God bless you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.